I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. As the store's owner, I want our clients treated with respect. I want our employees to have extensive product knowledge and be genuinely engaged with our clients. Our pricing is competitive, but our client attention is second to none. When considering a new car, consider Cherry Hill Volvo. Contact me directly. Relationships really do matter to us.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Here we go in our fourth and final hour. Daniel Turner, the man himself, power of the future. When I saw the story about Biden signing up for climate reparations, I thought there's only one man who's actually deserving of reparations but won't get them, and that's Daniel Turner. What's up, buddy?
Richard, it's always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Actually, the people who deserve the reparations, as you point out on Twitter, really are the thousands and thousands of people who lost their job when Biden killed the Keystone XL pipeline. Where are their reparations?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're guilty of the wrong kind of sin, which is the fossil fuel sin. And, you know, if you believe in the climate cult, right, it is a religion, and so it requires belief. This is part of your indulgence, right? I think a big schism was created in the church a couple of years ago about indulgences, but that's basically what this is, right? You pay a certain amount of money, you give it to other groups, and then you're absolved of the terrible sin of the fossil fuel industry, of being an American. So yeah, the victims, like the Keystone workers, like many other fossil fuel workers who have been let go because of the Biden administration, they don't get anything. But you know, some warlord in Africa is going to get a few million dollars because that makes people like John Kerry feel better about themselves.
Yeah, and that's exactly what is going to happen. So as part of the Paris Climate Accord, it suggested that rich countries compensate poor countries for climate damage. And now John Kerry and other kooks have now put in a mechanism through the United Nations whereby so-called rich countries will pay for loss and damage that poor countries suffer from natural disasters that are supposedly climate related. This is separate, by the way, from the $100 billion a year that rich countries have promised to help poor countries reduce emissions and adapt to climate change. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. And now suddenly every quote-unquote poor country is going to say, holy cow, this tsunami, this monsoon, right? We have flooding in Pakistan that's caused by climate change. And you say, really? This area doesn't flood every April for the last, since the history of mankind, right? In ancient Mesopotamia, they didn't know that this area flooded. Of course it does. It's what's called the flooding season. But now they can blame everything on climate change. And they're going to say, give me my money, right? So, hey, my gosh, a terrible tornado happened in name insert or a poor country's name here. Give me a check. John Kerry will just write checks. The funny thing, which you need to recognize as well, and your audience does, one country in particular is exempt. One quote-unquote rich country, because they identify as a poor country, they're exempt. And who would you think that country is?
Let me think. If I had to take a guess, I would say, could it be possibly, let's see, China?
And the fact that they are still recognized as a developing nation, world's second largest economy, they are still recognized as a developing nation. So not only do they not have to pay, they are technically eligible to receive money from other nations. World's second largest economy. Germany could be writing a check to China because that's how the UN sees it. Meanwhile, China is by far the world's largest emitter of CO2, America and the EU combined times two. is what they emit in CO2, and the world's largest plastic polluter. We sell all our plastic to China. They drive their barges out 15 miles. They dump it all in the ocean. And then we say, oh my gosh, there's all this plastic in the ocean. We need to ban straws. Right? China is guilty of all of the climate sins, but they're going to get money in this deal. Proof point that the UN hates us. Right. Let's just be blunt. The UN hates us.
And loves China.
Yes. Yes.
Hates the United Absolutely. States and loves China. Coal accounts for 60% of China's power generation, and more new coal plants are set for approval through 2025 than the entire existing U.S. fleet of coal plants. And China says it needs more coal power for energy security, and they're going to do whatever the hell they want to do. And as you pointed out before, their coal is much dirtier than our coal.
Well, yeah, they don't have any of the technologies, or even if they did, they don't use any of the technologies to make sure their emissions are cleaner. And the fact that people think coal in America is dirty is a lie, right? They've been told that coal is dirty, and it's not. And coal companies spend an awful lot of money on things like scrubbers to make sure their emissions are not dirty. China doesn't spend any money on that. You know, there's no environmental record or compliance if you're in communist China. You just do whatever the heck you want. And what are they making with their coal plants? They're making solar panels and wind turbines, and then we buy them to take off our coal offline to put up wind and solar, which they make with their coal. Chinese coal, good. American coal, bad. That's the environmental movement.
It's just insanity to me, Daniel Turner. Daniel Turner's with me, the founder and executive director of Power of the Future. And as the Wall Street Journal points out, House Republicans won't appropriate money for the fund, but the administration could tap international development banks that the U.S. funds. So essentially, there'll be a workaround for the United States of America to get the money to pay off these nations in this so-called climate reparations. And Republicans can only do so much to stop it, obviously, because they don't control both the House and the Senate. And also, too, the Biden administration, once again now, is going to allow countries to shake down U.S. fossil fuel producers in their own courts. So we're also destroying our own sovereignty here in the United States of America.
Yeah, and where's our American government standing up for American industries, right? So they are lumping the fossil fuel industry as these bad actors, inviting other countries to sue them. Right. So great. You bring insert oil company here into international court and they spend millions and millions of dollars in lawsuits. They're not going to pay those. They're just going to charge more for their product. Right. It's the same as the natural gas tax, which kicks in January, thanks to this Congress. You think the natural gas companies are going to pay more in taxes? No, they're not. They're just going to charge you more money for gas. So get ready. If you think your gas bill is high now, get ready for January, because they have to spend about $800 billion. They have to raise about $800 billion a year for the new tax code. And you're going to pay it, right? You and I are going to pay it. They're not going to pay it.
You know, I'm thinking about this as everybody in the Northeast is already turning on their heat, because we woke up this morning and it was under freezing. It was like 28 degrees or something like that. So the furnaces are all kicking on right now. This is coming as everybody's trying to save money everywhere they possibly can, with people deciding they're going to forego stuffing on this Thanksgiving just because they can't make ends meet. Everybody's paying more for the holiday season. They're going to have to travel and pay a whole lot more for gas to fill their tanks. Airline tickets are going up again. And of course, the price to heat your home. But Democrats don't give a damn about any of that. They really don't. It's almost, actually, I will say this, they do care in the sense that they hope that this will make all of us learn our lesson and then switch over to green vehicles and solar panels for our homes, I guess.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I think, having worked with these people for many years now, what I think the National Democrats will do is, because it's a divided Congress and anything they were to pass, Biden will just veto. They'll spend the next 2 years with America being basically the economic dump that it is now, potentially even getting worse. And then in 2024, they'll say, you know what? Of course we couldn't get anything done. Look at the Republicans. Look at what Kevin McCarthy did in the House. That is why your gas bill is so high. That is why your airline tickets are so high, or your food is so expensive. I think Democrats are absolutely thrilled, because now they can just blame everything on Republicans. But you know what? I shouldn't be so cynical, because I'm sure, you know, NBC and David Muir on ABC, I'm sure they'll hold them to account. I'm sure they'll be like, wait a second, that's an unfair accusation. Thank you for the laugh.
Do me one favor. Don't hold your breath, because I like you a lot. You're a good guy. We need you around. All right. And Power of the Future, which, you know, you guys, as Fox Business said, Power of the Future, a leading energy industry group, published a report which it said could act as an energy policy roadmap for House Republicans when they take majority at control of the chamber next year. So you guys produce this report, just came out. It's hot off the presses here. 10 concrete steps the next Congress can take to get America's energy independence back on track. So tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to give the Congress a roadmap because, quite frankly, there are going to be a lot of freshmen who are elected. There's going to be a lot of new committee chairs, and those committees have tremendous power, right? Just remember how much power Adam Schiff had, who impeached the president twice, the former president twice. They have a lot of power, but sometimes they need a little bit of guidance and direction, and that's what advocacy groups like ours do, and that's the reason why we exist. And we wanted to give them 10 concrete steps, right? Not the campaign steps that, oh boy, and aren't we glad we're done with campaign ads, but the campaign ads of vote for me, I believe in tomorrow, and children are good, right? We didn't want to give them that. We wanted to give them really specific things to do with their newfound power, because we're all hurting. Right. I mean, 2 years ago was not that long ago. And Americans remember when you could afford Thanksgiving dinner. Right. And granted, we weren't allowed to because we were locked up because of COVID. But it wasn't expensive. Like, life was not expensive very, very recently. And we can't lose our short term memory. We have to remember that life used to be a lot better, and we have to get back to it.
And we can get back to it, which is good. So 10 policy recommendations. And of course, I have, you know, if not the smartest audience in all of radio, they'd love to go through them. So let's start, Daniel Turner, with repealing Joe Biden's natural gas tax. I was shocked when I realized just how much this natural gas tax is going to force producers to pay. And all of this comes, ironically enough, through the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yes, this was all part of the Inflation Reduction Act. One of the ways they were going to lower the cost of inflation is to increase revenue to the federal treasury, and therefore it's increased taxes. And you've never met a Democrat who doesn't love a good tax increase, right? So this is part of their suggestion. But like I just mentioned, the gas companies are not going to pay this. Corporations don't pay taxes. Corporations charge money for their product, and you pay the taxes. So the idea, you know, Bernie Sanders, who was the former budget chair of the Senate, the idea that there's some CFO at ExxonMobil who's like, oh boy, we got a big tax bill due in January. I wonder where we're going to get the money. They're not very worried about it because they know they'll just pass the cost on to you. That's one specific thing we propose they could do that the Congress can do, right? All appropriations, all taxes start in the House. The House can stop this through a lot of little vehicles at their fingertips. They can stop this from being enacted.
Which would be fantastic. Now, here's the question that I have. The second policy recommendation that you outline here, the only reason I'm questioning it is because I've heard Karine Jean-Pierre stand up there and say that the oil and gas companies need to do more drilling. And the problem is that they're just lazy or greedy or something, because you outline a plan to end Biden's oil and gas leasing moratorium and return power to the state. So explain it for me.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the lies that they get away with all the time. But if you look and see how much oil, land is being available for oil and gas leasing, we're at the lowest level since World War II. And they have done this very aggressively. They've taken leasing out of tribal land, federal land, the Gulf, the Atlantic, the Pacific, huge parts of Alaska, close to 1 million acres were taken offline. And so when you limit the ability to find oil and gas, you obviously limit ultimately the supply. And we're experiencing that supply crunch. All the Biden administration needs to do is just return to a couple years ago and work with us. And quite frankly, when you work with us, you also raise a lot of money because we have to pay royalties on all of those leases. So this is just an example of the Biden administration punishing this industry through administrative procedure.
I mean, I remember Biden on the campaign trail saying all the time, no new drilling, over and over and over again in that debate with Bernie Sanders when he said he was going to end all drilling on federal lands. And he's pretty much followed through on that promise, no question about it. Third point, approving the Keystone XL pipeline. That was one of the first, if not the very first thing Biden did when he became president of the United States, was to kill the Keystone XL pipeline.
Yes, and it sent a signal, right? A lot of people have said, hey, Keystone was never active. It was never functioning. So it doesn't make a difference when it comes to over oil and gas. leasing. And that's partially true. It wasn't function. It wasn't operational. It was still in construction. But it sent a very clear signal. And that's why these workers are still unemployed, because who's going to be the next one to build a pipeline, right? This was one that had done all of the necessary legal work, got all the approvals from government, and then had the rug pulled out from under them by the Biden administration. So are you going to invest $8 billion in another pipeline? Because why would you, right? So it sent a very clear signal to the industry. And those signals over the last 2 years have accumulated and they've multiplied, and we're experiencing it right now. So yeah, reversing this sends a signal. All right, we'll give you guys space to operate. And wait till you see prices come down, right? Joe Biden could save his presidency if he just reversed this, but he's not going to.
And how much output will we have today if the Keystone XL pipeline had come online?
Well, I mean, that's 800,000 barrels, 825 to be exact, per day that would have arrived in the Gulf of Houston for refining. Now, it is arriving by railroad car, but it's only arriving around 60,000 barrels a day, which means it's just sitting there. It's waiting for transportation. You know, I mean, if you can make 500 sneakers a day, but you can only have a car that can fit five, well, you need bigger cars, right? I mean, it's a logistic problem. Going after pipelines is incredibly sneaky, right? Pipelines are not our enemy. They're a vehicle for transportation. And this is why the administration targeted them purposely, because without the ability to bring our product to market, our product is absolutely useless.
Daniel Turner's with me. Power the Future. I got to check out the site. They have great arguments there. And thank God this guy's fighting the good fight for all of us. All right. Blocking Biden's ESG regulations. You know, I had a laugh when that Sam Blankfein guy with the FTX guy came out and said ESG is just a load of it's a big crock and we just do it all to look good. But you know what? These corporations are all in on this now. It's very gauche to turn around and say, you know, we're going to be with oil. So they now, to show and virtue signal how woke they are, they literally turn around and say, we are not going to have any investments with oil companies, no investments with anything like that, and colleges are divesting from it, pension funds are divesting from it. It's a bunch of nonsense.
It really is. And going to the Sam Blankman freed, this is going to be terribly awful, but I'll just go ahead and say it. If you saw that kid, either on stage or on TV, and you looked at him and the way he's dressed and his hair and his eyes, would you write him a $1 check, let alone like hundreds of millions of dollars? Like, you look at that kid and you just get a vibe that says, yeah, I don't trust that dude.
He looks like the guy that was supposed to pick up Hunter Biden's laptop at that Delaware computer repair shop.
This is where scam artists really are the most brilliant people in the world, because how that guy got people like Tom Brady and Giselle and how he got these huge names to invest so much money, it's fascinating. Must have been like when Ponzi was alive at the beginning of the 20th century, right? You saw what he was doing. Just amazing. But yeah, ESG is a terribly pernicious movement that targets financing. So just like the previous example, they target transportation vehicles, right, and pipelines. Targeting financing says, hey, look, if I can't get a loan from you, then I can't expand, right? I can't drill. I can't finance. When you want to drill a well, it's not $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. It's $15-20 million in you know, personnel and equipment and insurance and compliance and all of that. And you finance it, right? No one writes a $20 million check to themselves. They finance it and they pay it off. That's how business works. But if you cut off their financing, you cut off their ability to expand. And that's what the ESG movement has done. Very, very brilliantly. I'll give the left credit, Rich. They are clever and sneaky, and because that's what the devil is. And so it makes perfect sense that their methodology is so good.
The California waiver. What is the California waiver under the Clean Air Act?
Yeah, so this is what's just wonderful, is that California exempts itself. So if you are of the right state, if you're the right person, you know, just like everyone exempted themselves from Thanksgiving COVID two years ago because, you know, Deborah Birx is like, well, I'm Deborah Birx, right? I don't have to follow these rules. I'm allowed to have Thanksgiving with my family. California exempted itself from a lot of the clean air rules that are federal rules. And the reason why is because they claim that they have special necessary statutory means or requirements, and they're exempt from it. So why doesn't California have to play the same rules? And that's what's nonsense about regulation, and it's why the left loves regulation, because laws are easy, right? Laws are cut and dry, and you can follow laws in the courtrooms. But regulations are kind of hey, you're a parent. Ask anyone who's a parent about regulation of your kids. All right, you guys can't watch this TV show, but your younger sister can. Why? Well, because that's the regulation, right? Then they make no sense, and they're unfair, and they're biased. And that's exactly why the left loves the regulatory state, because you can let people off the hook, and California's off the hook.
And California should have to deal with the same nonsense every other state in the union has to deal with. All 54 of them, as Biden said. Nobody should get a pass.
Exactly.
And it's funny. It's almost as if the Democrats are upset or worried about upsetting one of the, if not, I think, the biggest blue state in the country, right? With, what, 54 electoral votes, I believe?
Yeah, absolutely. Biggest state. And also that leads the example for the other states in this crazy climate agenda. Whatever California does, 2 or 3 years later, other states will eventually follow suit. And so they want California to be, they don't want California to suffer under their rules, because then they can lie to the other states. They can lie to a state like a great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and say, hey, look, California's adopted this clean air rule for 10 years, hasn't cost them a dime. And you say, well, they've been exempt from it. No, that's not true, right? So you adopt it now, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You follow California's example because it's worked so well for them. So yeah, it's very, very, again, it's crafty, it's sneaky, it's malicious. It's the left.
It's the left in a nutshell. Sue and settle and citizen lawsuits. Now, this is the kind of nuisance stuff that clogs up the courts, and the left loves this kind of stuff. So we can end those under your idea. Give us a little bit of an idea of what those mean.
This is big, those pain in the rear end people like Greta Thunberg who gets, you know, a whole bunch
how
of
dare you
file a thank you. Gets a whole bunch of kids to file a lawsuit against the energy company because you're stealing our future from us. And you get some activist judge in some circuit court who entertains it, and we spend millions of dollars to defend ourselves in court, ultimately to have the case thrown out. And you know it's going to get thrown out. I know it's going to get thrown out. But the goal is not to get thrown out. The goal is to make you millions of dollars and hours of time in the courtroom. This is the death by a thousand paper cuts. And this is where we can eliminate a lot of that, again, just with some very simple legislation of who actually is allowed to file suit. If your kids are allowed to sue the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, because they feel like their future is not well, is that grounds for a lawsuit, right? Do they have standing in the courts as a plaintiff? Or is it, this is just a bunch of PR nonsense? And PR nonsense doesn't have a place in the courtrooms.
And speaking of courtroom, the Massachusetts rule, which is Massachusetts versus Environmental Protection, overturning that.
Yeah, so this all has to come back to, which is a new regulation we're going to see from the Biden administration, which is all of the methane rules, right? This is where the left arbitrarily chooses who their enemy is, right? It used to be methane. It was always methane, but now it's carbon, right? Now we talk a lot about getting rid of carbon. But suddenly we decide that this is our enemy, and we come up with our own fake metrics of how much should be in the atmosphere, how much is there, and then we're allowed to sue either the government or, sue the fossil fuel industry or sue individuals because these fake arbitrary numbers don't stand up in our mind. Right. So Massachusetts led the charge with a lot of this methane stuff. And again, this is all going to come down and penalize the industry for existing. But those costs are just going to get passed right back down to the citizens.
And the other two are pretty straightforward, which is to allow the plants to be built for liquid natural gas exports, so export terminals, so we can actually start exporting our liquid natural gas, which would be huge, especially would buttress Vladimir Putin, which is something that Donald Trump talked about years ago when all those German officials mocked him and laughed at him. And of course, stopping Biden's war on coal, which is something that we talked about earlier in the show today. Our coal is not dirty. It's certainly a hell of a lot cleaner than China. China's coal, and China's not slowing down on coal. In fact, they are building new plants at a rate of 2 to 1 compared to most countries in the world. So this is a very, very common sense roadmap. I hope the House Republicans will employ. Have you started to have conversations with them, Daniel Turner?
We will be starting right after Thanksgiving and hopefully into the new year when the new members are sworn in. And one little anecdote for your wonderful listeners in the Philadelphia area is that the industry tried to get one of those LNG terminals from Pennsylvania, because you are one of the second largest natural gas producer in the nation after Texas. They wanted to get the pipeline from the Marcellus Shale region across the state, and Maryland was willing to build the terminal until the Greens got to then Governor Hogan. And Governor Hogan reversed course and said, you know what, my concern about the environment, my concern about the future of this country. So no, he blocked it, because Pennsylvania doesn't have necessarily a deep water terminus, right? I mean, you can get something on the river, but that's not big enough for these barges to get in. The reason why I mention that is because Larry Hogan has huge presidential ambitions. Mm-hmm. And I am sorry, rule number one as a Republican, when you cave on climate, you will cave on everything. And any Republican who's like, well, look, I care deeply about climate change, good luck on abortion, good luck on taxes, good luck on foreign policy, good luck on everything. Because climate is so easy to cave on when you're a Republican, but it is the slippery slope towards becoming a lib. And so, Governor Hogan, if his audience is listening, I will do everything in my power to expose what a weakling he was, because this would have been huge for Pennsylvania and huge for Maryland. And he caves to the environmental left. And as president, he's going to cave to China, Russia, the UN. He'll cave to everybody. As far as I'm concerned, Hogan has no place in national politics.
Well said. I concur, sir. Daniel Turner, Power the Future, powerthefuture.com. Check it out and follow Daniel on Twitter as well. My friend, always a pleasure, always a great time, and we'll see you again soon.
Always a pleasure, Rich. Thank you so much.
And let me tell you about USA Insulation, because here's the deal. You just heard Daniel talk about how expensive everything's going to be to heat your home this winter. So you don't want to mess around. You want to call my friends at USA Insulation. USA Insulation. .net or 1-800-USA-FOAM. They'll come to your home and inject their premium foam into your walls from the outside, just like they did to my home. It saves us money. The home is more comfortable. It really makes a difference this time of year. And with Biden's war on energy not going away, because you know that the Republicans may embrace this, but Biden's going to fight it every step of the way, and so all the Democrats, you need to do everything you possibly can to make sure that your home is as insulated as possible. So don't wait. Reach out to them today at 1-800-USA-FOAM. Call them now. Get a $500 early bird discount to heat your home, to insulate your home. And this is going to save you a lot of money. It really, really will. So I know it's dark out. It's cold out. In just about a half hour, I'm getting in my car. And I know it's going to be freezing. So when I get home, I don't want my home to be freezing. I want my home to be nice and toasty. With USA Insulation, it will be. 1-800-USA-FOAM. Call now for that $500 early bird discount. USA Insulation. Net.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, went a little long there with Daniel Turner, but I think it was worth it. That was a very detailed plan, and I know you care about it, because this coming Thanksgiving is going to be the most expensive on record, according to the American Farm Bureau. Total Thanksgiving dinner is up 20% compared to last year, $64.05. A 16-pound turkey is going to cost you $28.96. So really, just round it up to $29, right? Cranberries, $2.57. I know what I'm going to say is controversial. I can skip the cranberries. I know you may hate me now, but I can skip the cranberries, all right? They're elitist, like Matt DeSantis. Sweet potatoes, a 3-pound bag of sweet potatoes is going to cost you $4. Carrots and celery, I can skip those too. 88 cents for a half pound. Green peas, skip, $1.90. I mean, this is just, if I had to go through my Thanksgiving dinner, I would skip those too. 9-inch pie shells, you got to have two of them. You can't skip pie. You need pie. That's going to be about $4 per pie shell. I'm just saying, I need my pie on Thanksgiving, all right? Cube stuffing. You got to have stuffing. Stuffing's a must. I will not give up my stuffing. $3.88 for a 14-ounce box of stuffing. Dinner rolls, a dozen dinner rolls, going to cost you $3.73 or more if you are an elitist like Matt DeSantis and want brioche dinner rolls, which nobody should ever have, of course. Pumpkin pie mix is going to cost you $4.28. Whole milk, $3.84, which you need for the mashed potatoes, of course. Whipping cream, which you also need for the mashed potatoes, and possibly some other stuff as well. $2.24, the single most expensive Thanksgiving on record. Isn't that something? I mean, I'm not surprised by it because this is Biden's inflation. But if I had to guess, I would say that a lot of people are going to be cutting back. I told you about how Lidl, the supermarket, now has a complete Thanksgiving dinner for $20, and that's selling out like crazy. But for a lot of people, they like to cook. They want to cook their own dinner, and they don't want to have prepackaged side dishes or pre-made stuff. They want to make it by scratch, and that's going to, of course, be even more expensive. And don't forget, if you are gonna deep fry the bird, which is what I always suggest. I say it's the best way to have Thanksgiving dinner. You got to deep fry that baby. Well, peanut oil, also very expensive this year. The cost of peanut oil, if I were to go to Walmart later today and get 128 fluid ounce, 3 gallon peanut oil, which is probably about minimum of what you need, $46.88 for a big old thing of peanut oil. Because you got to fill up that deep fryer. And by the way, the way to do it, of course, is you put the turkey in with water, measure it with a, with, put the line around it, and then fill, take the water out, obviously, and the turkey out, and then fill it with the peanut oil. But you got to, a lot of people don't realize this. You have to measure the level of fluid with the turkey in it. That's why I suggest the water. And then pat the turkey dry. And please, don't be a moron. Make sure the turkey is defrosted. Otherwise, you're going to drop it in there, and it's going to shoot up into the sky like a bomb. So you don't want to do that either. But yeah, Luana, 3 gallon thing of peanut oil. Oofa, look at that. That's a lot of money, $46.88. And depending on the size of your turkey, you might need 4 or 5 gallons. So good luck with that. That's what I'm saying. This is Biden's economy right now, and it's killing us. All right, went a little long there, so I'm just going to tell you about my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Great guy, great friend of the show, and I really, truly am so grateful for everything that Dr. Mike has done for me, for my family, and what he'll do for you when it comes to giving you a great smile. Pediatric dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, pain-free root canal treatment. It's all there with Dr. Mike Veneria and his award-winning team. For 9 years, he has been voted best dentist in South Jersey for 9 consecutive years. And he is going to make you happy. Right over the bridge in Cinnaminson and also Woodbury, New Jersey. My mom is going to see him on Wednesday, as a matter of fact. Mama Zioli going in to get some implants. So you know if it's good enough for Mama Zioli, it's good enough for you and your family. So reach out to him today. Just go to VenariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A. I was texting with him over the weekend. I'll be going in for my cleaning, I think the first week or second week in December when I'm getting my cleaning. I've been putting it off and putting it off. Not because I don't want to go, and I don't, I'm not afraid of it. I had stuff going on, and you know what I mean? It's, you wind up pushing stuff like that aside, but you shouldn't because your smile means so much. So go see him today. When it comes to dental implants, he is the master, truly the master of dental implants. So you want to see him. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. When we come back, Hunter Biden. Wait till you hear the in-depth report CBS did this morning on the morning show. I almost fell out of my chair when I heard this. Devoting over 5 minutes to the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. Don't go away.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Thanks for listening to the Zioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It is our abbreviated week here for Thanksgiving, of course, but Wednesday night I will be in for the great one, Mark Levin. We will be taking the first hour of Mark Levin's show live right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So you hear me from 3 o'clock until 9 o'clock. So don't accuse me of not being a hard worker, okay? Just lucky for Mark, it's not a Friday. All right, so CBS News this morning. I almost fell out of my chair. Catherine Herridge. has obtained data from a laptop reportedly to have belonged to Hunter Biden. Now, I'm going to play this for you. It's a little bit long. I'm going to talk through it. But first, it's going to begin with the morning guy doing every bit of due diligence he possibly can to make sure that his lefty audience doesn't lose their freaking minds. All right. So he's going to check every box about how they authenticated it. And it's not third party and it's direct and blah, blah, blah. He has to do all that because he knows he's going to get a lot of angry people today. Like, why are you talking about Hunter Biden? You should be talking about Trump. Anyway, take a listen.
And as Republicans take control of the House, Hunter Biden, the president's son, will be a target for investigations. And that means data from a laptop reported to belong to Biden could be crucial to the investigatory process. CBS News has obtained its data, not through a third party or political operative, but directly from the source who told us they provided it to the FBI under subpoena. And we commissioned an independent forensic review to determine its authenticity. Senior investigative correspondent Catherine Herridge joins us now with what we found. Catherine, I'm very interested. Good morning.
Good morning, Tony. These House Republican investigations are coming, and that could be a challenge for the White House as we head into 2023 and 2024. The laptop data we had analyzed showed no evidence it was faked or tampered with.
Boom.
Digital forensic investigator Mark Lanterman was previously a member of a Secret Service electronic crimes task force.
There was one thing that got my attention, and that was a voicemail.
It's Dad. I called to tell you I love you. Love you more than the whole world, pal. Got to get some help.
That voicemail, apparently from Joe Biden during his son Hunter's drug addiction, is one of many findings Lanterman used to authenticate what is believed to be Hunter Biden's laptop data.
You're confident, based on your analysis, this is Hunter Biden's data and that it's real?
Yes.
This Delaware computer shop is where the laptop's backstory begins. Their records indicate, in April 2019, Hunter Biden took his laptop in for repair, but never paid. After 90 days, the store considered it abandoned. Then in December 2019, the FBI subpoenaed the store's owner to turn over the computer and a portable drive of its data.
Whatever happened to Hunter?
During the 2020 election, versions were widely shared by Republican operatives, including Rudy Giuliani.
We have the entire hard drive.
But questions were raised about whether additional files were added to those versions. Then-candidate Biden labeled the laptop controversy disinformation.
What this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant.
CBS News approached the lawyer for the computer repair shop owner to cut through the noise.
We've always had one clean copy.
And obtained a copy of what he says they provided the FBI under subpoena.
Now let's remember something, too. Not only did President Biden, who was candidate Biden at the time, say this was Russian disinformation, but remember, and I check it all the time, and I'll check it today. Let me go to my little my bookmark on Twitter. I wonder why Elon's allowing this to... Oh! Let's see. The tweet is unavailable. It is finally down. Look at that. The tweet has been taken down. Holy cow! After all this time, it's gone. Jen Psaki's tweet, which I'm sure someone screenshot for me, says more than 50 former intelligence officials agree the Hunter Biden laptop story is Russian disinformation, with a link to the Politico article, which I don't know if the Politico article is still up or not. But that tweet from Jen Psaki Snocks, Snarky Socks, it's late in the show, sorry. That tweet is finally gone. Look at that. Unbelievable. After all this time, that tweet was from October 2022. But you remember the all-out effort by the old Twitter owners to make sure that you couldn't talk about this or spread the story around. The old Facebook, well, still the same owners there, little Mark Zuckerberg, and everybody else all colluding with the media and the Democrats, same thing, I know, I'm being redundant, to turn around and say this was Russian disinformation and you could not talk about it, right? All right, let's continue here.
Then we went to Minneapolis for an independent analysis.
Were you paid by CBS or anyone else to analyze the data?
No.
No.
I wouldn't want anyone to think that someone bought our opinion.
Around the corner, it'll lead you to what we call our imaging room.
Lanterman and his son, Sean, both digital forensic experts, recovered images of credit cards, a driver's license, social security number.
Just the sheer volume
of what we're dealing with, it would be difficult, if not impossible, to fabricate.
And explained how files built up over years.
It accumulated over time, which is consistent with normal, everyday use of a computer.
There's some reporting about folders being added.
We have read these articles. We don't see that. So I believe that that's because we have a more pristine copy.
The laptop and its contents have fueled Republican interest in Hunter Biden's business ventures.
Hunter Biden was working with Chinese nationals.
They say this May 2017 email outlining a proposed business deal with a Chinese energy firm is one reason why they have questions about whether President Biden benefited.
We're prepared to subpoena Hunter Biden. We would certainly hope that he would want to come before the committee and clear his name.
Two of Hunter Biden's former...
That's James Comer, the congressman from Kentucky, who, remember, last week, James Comer and Jim Jordan came out and announced these investigations into Hunter Biden. And Joe Biden, too. The whole Biden family. Because don't forget, 10% for the big guy. Who's the big guy? We know who the big guy is because they've confirmed who the big guy is. The big guy's Joe Biden. We know this. So, not surprising there. Let me just back it up a second, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, deal ahead. With a Chinese energy firm is one reason why they have questions about whether President Biden benefited.
We're prepared to subpoena Hunter Biden. We would certainly hope that he would want to come before the committee and clear his name.
Two of Hunter Biden's former business partners, including Tony Bobulinski, who received the email, told CBS News the 10 held by H for the big guy is shorthand for 10% held by Hunter for his father. After the email became public in 2020, the author of the email told the Wall Street Journal Joe Biden was not involved. The author has not responded to CBS News' questions. Mr. Biden has consistently denied knowledge of his son's work or financially benefiting from it.
I've never spoken to my son about overseas.
Last month, Senator Chuck Grassley wrote this letter alleging bank records and financial data showed that Hunter Biden and the president's brother profited from a $5 million wire from a company connected to CEFC, the Chinese energy firm.
They're going to look at every part of the Joe Biden administration.
Doug High is a Republican strategist.
A lot of this is also going to be aggressive on Hunter specifically. We're going to hear a lot about the laptop. Who profited? Was the law broken? Was it not broken?
After 2 years of scrutiny, the laptop has not produced evidence President Biden directly benefited from his son's business deals.
If there's dirt there, that will dirty him up. If not, those attacks can backfire.
Nah.
The White House declined to comment. Hunter's lawyer did not address our specific questions about the data or the CBS forensic review, but said there have been multiple attempts to hack, infect, distort, and peddle misinformation regarding Mr. Biden's devices and data. And at no time did any individual, including the IT repair shop owner, Mr. McIsaac, have Mr. Biden's consent to access his computer data or share it with others. The lawyer also referred us to Hunter Biden's memoir, where the president's son slammed the despicable opposition that purported to have a laptop belonging to him.
And of course, now the reason why the media is allowing this story to go forward is because they want Joe Biden gone. That's the reality. They do not want Joe Biden to run again for president in 2024. They want him gone. So if something comes of this, and I think it will, because don't forget the ongoing investigations in Delaware, it will be because they finally want Joe Biden to leave because he's a terrible president and he's got no chance of being reelected in 2024, period. That's the deal. All right, it's that time of the show today. Well, I will turn to executive producer Matt DeSantis for the answer to this very crucial question. Go ahead.
Who won social media?
All right, thank you, Rich. Today's award is going to go to Larry Foy. Now, Larry's tweet is in reference to some of Daniel's musical selections today. Larry very simplistically states, Rich, fire him. Congratulations, Larry. I believe that's a sentiment that we were all feeling while we listened to that terrible percolator song.
Yes. All right. Excellent stuff. And I got to be quick here, but let me just say that I'm excited for Wednesday night when I'll be in for the Great One, Mark Levin, and also this show as well. So we'll be together from 3 o'clock till 9 p.m. That's a whole lot of radio, kids. But I'll just say on this Hunter Biden stuff, you know, it's huge to me that they're finally talking about it and covering it. We know he's going down. It's just a matter of when, and he's going to bring Joe Biden down with him. And this is all moving forward at record pace right now because of the fact that Joe Biden is in a terrible, terrible political state. That is Republicans. More and more of them say they're going to run for president now. The latest is Governor Asa Hutchinson from Arkansas, who said over the weekend he's thinking about jumping in the ring. So you know the Democrats are salivating for their chance as well. Gavin Newsom, Phil Murphy with his fake haircut. So many other Democrats are going to be already thinking about jumping in the race for president of the United States. That fat guy in Illinois, Pritzker. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, but it's the end of the show. You know, give me a break. What can I say? All right, have a great rest of your night tonight. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Keep the conversation going on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. And I'll see you tomorrow from 3 until 7. The Great One, Mark Levin, is up next. Thank you.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.